Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. A big episode this one. We're going to go through the 2023 Girls Talent League season review, but we'll start on a quick different note with the AFL Draft Combine that was just completed this weekend. And we've got the top 10 from all the different testing that I'm going to quickly run over, and then I'll pass to you, Jonty, to give your thoughts, and we'll get stuck in to the girls' season review. But probably the big story was Tarkin O'Leary. He got second best of all time with his 2K time trial with 5 minutes 48, which is terrific to see. I mean, he's a terrific runner, and we saw that in his football this year. And a big result, just a great one to take into the end of the year. Darcy Wilson with 5.52, he was second. Jordan Croft with a really good run of 6.05 for such a tall player to get that time is really good to see. Archie Roberts, Connor O'Sullivan, Joel Frazier, Harvey Johnson, all in that top 10 for the 2K trial. 20-meter sprint, Caleb Windsor, one of your favourites, Jonty, ran very well in that. And Harry DiMattia as well. He was at 10th, which was great to see. Phoenix Gothard as well gets in that top 10. I mean, all separated by 0.12 seconds. So, I mean, you can't really separate any of them. But that was the top 10 for the 20-meter sprint. Agility, Angus Hasty, great to see him in there. And that's one we probably expected to happen with such a good testing result for agility. Darcy Wilson, again, features in that top 10, and Nate Caddy as well. Standing vertical jump, Phoenix Gothard with 78 centimetres. That's a pretty big result for as a smaller forward. That's a pretty big jump, which is great to see. Darcy Wilson, again, very good testing from him. That's good to hear from my end as well. I love him as a player, and I think he should be rated much highly. And Caleb Windsor, again, he features in that top 10 for the standing vertical jump with 73 centimetres. The last one, running vertical jump, Darcy Wilson, again, he finished first in that one, 98 centimetres. Zane Dersma, Caleb Windsor again, and Cooper Simpson as well, that we've watched quite a lot this year in that top 10. So, Jonty, what's your thoughts from that testing? We don't think, if you're a recruiter, you're not really putting a lot of weight on it, but it's still good to show great testing results in the postseason, because obviously there is a comparison from the preseason before the season did start. So, you know, there is two things to look at, but what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, like you said, there's probably, from the sentiment that I've sort of gauged throughout the season, it's probably a little bit less compared to previous years and going back in time that's put on that end of season testing, just because you see so much of these players in their 16th year, their 17th year, and then obviously their top 8 year as well. You can probably predict, you didn't need a 20-meter sprint to tell you that Harry DiMattia is fast off the mark. But yeah, I think Phoenix Gothard being able to put in those two really good results, that 20-meter sprint that you touched on, and also that leap, really shows that he's got the attributes as a small forward. He's fleet of foot, and he's also quite springy, so he's quite competitive in the air. So I thought those two were impressive results. Obviously, another bush ranger, Darcy Wilson, was outstanding. To come in the top 10 as often as he did shows how excellent his athletic base is, and that's going to hold him really good stead at the next level. I don't think you're the only one that's sort of watching him and saying that he should be rated a little bit higher than what some people do presently have him as. And yeah, I was really happy to see Angus Hasty test well as well. He's been a really good one to watch. But we will get stuck into our girls season reviews now, so we'll go through each of the girls' clubs. We're going to leave the Tassie Devils girls for next week, and we'll talk about them with the Tassie Devils boys as well and do a little bit of a deep dive into Tassie then. But we'll start with the premiers, Oakley. Nathan, they're stacked with talent, as are a lot of these teams, but who are some of the top end that really jump off the page?
Yeah, well, there's a lot to talk about with Oakley, and it's hard where to start, but I'll start with Lucy Cronin. A couple of their backliners we'll touch on first, but she's the one that just got better every week, and I thought we saw in that final series her ability to shut down two pretty good forwards in Georgie Brisbane and Abby Tregarlis, I think, just boosted her chances a little bit more. And then Lara Hausegger, we saw her grand final performance, probably could have won her best on ground, honestly, if it finished at halftime. It was that good. Just a really great intercept marker that finished the year really strongly. Gemma Rigoni, one that you've loved watching quite a lot, and we know she's got that father-daughter link, so should get picked up and probably pretty high in terms of, I'd assume, top 30. With the interest she's bringing, just brings that speed, and she rocketed up during the season. Played half back in the first two-thirds of the year, but then moved to the wing and played her role really well as the season went on and just provided great run and carry. Amy Karras-Brett, there is a bit of interest with her. She's one that had a really good end to the season. And I think if teams are likely to sort of trade their picks and things work her way, I think she's one you could see go later in the draft. And we're still unsure when the actual AFLW draft is. We know it's in December, but an official date hasn't been released. So, you know, when we know that information, we'll make sure to talk about that. And then she was starting to win her contested ball, which was a bit of a weakness in that middle of the season. So it was good to see her build on those deficiencies she was having. Georgia Jackson, one that had, she was training with Carlton's VFLW team all year, and she could be elevated, worst case, if the Carlton AFLW team does go with, have a significant injury. Obviously, there's not a lot of time left in the AFLW season, but there is always that chance. So should have a VFLW chance at the very least next year. Michaela Lee, is one we saw in the grand final just turn it on with her speed, and that's her dangerous weapon on the ground. And VFLW should be a realistic chance for her, given the offer is there. And interesting to see what route she takes with her football. And then Maya Stobie had a really dangerous start to the year. We saw her small forward craft was there, and it was kicking on really well. She was hitting the scoreboard. And I think there should be a bit of interest there with her small forward craft. And she's got the talent, she's got the capability. So very interested, very interested to see where she goes. And that's the top age group.
Yeah, I think, so Amy Karras-Brett's one that I reckon, and we've spoken about her a lot, but I think she just flies under the radar in terms of how well she sort of holds her shape, really understands that wing position well. So often you see in players top age, you're on the boys and girls side, they're thrown out to a wing because they might have been a midfield all their life, and they're just sort of pushed out of the midfield, and then they don't have the discipline, they end up going ball chasing, and it doesn't bode well for their team structure. She's not one that does that. And then, Georgia Jackson's one who is really solid. And I think I really noticed her, particularly in those two finals. I think she stood up really tall. And I think the positive thing from Oakley's point of view is that the extra games that they did get to play in terms of finals, it was all of those top-end players who showed a lot of glimpses.
Yeah, 100%. And then I'll touch on the bottom ages. And there's quite a few of them, to say the very least, is heaps. And I'll start with Sienna Tallarida, who won the best on grand final day, and what a dangerous player she is. She just plays her role so well, and she'll continue to play that similar halfback role next year and hopefully a bit more midfield time with the run and carry. And she's just a smart footballer. I mean, she'll gain more consistency with her intercept marking, and it's just adding to that clearance work for her that she's already built on so well, and she'll be terrific to watch next year. And look, probably with an end like that, one that could be on potential talks for an AFLW Academy appearance, because she was fantastic, but we'll love to see where she goes with her football next year. Sarah Pousty was one that moved into the midfield. She played Vic Metro during the season, and she's just a supreme athlete, really great build. She'll get a bit bigger and stronger, and she'll continue to improve that her ground balls as well, and that's something she'll build on, and looking forward to watching her next year. Emma McDonald, one that we sort of just saw from the start of the season. It was that Dandenong game at Shepley on the Friday night where we instantly took notice of how good she was in the air, and with her contested marking, she tackles well. She's just a competitive half forward, full forward, really, that can just clunk anything. She will not drop a single ball. And I guess it's a possibility next year for her to play a centre half back role and trial that defensive side, because she she's got that good mark. So very interested to see where she does fit in at that role.
Yeah, certainly. She's probably one that tired as the season went on, but obviously with the amount of footy that she played and the level she was playing at, you can't really knock her for that. So, an excellent bottom age year for her. A good launch pad too.
Yeah, 100%. Jacinta Baxter played the win and half forward really well. Skills still to improve, and her running patterns got better as the year went on, and just a really hard worker in general that we're excited to watch next year, and had a really good back end of the season. Lucinda Smith, capable of playing on the win. She wins her aerial contest, one to just keep a watch of. Abby Vicino, she finished second or third in the BNF, which was really impressive, in the league BNF, not just the team BNF, which we don't have those results, but the league BNF, she finished really high. Just great leg speed and lateral movement, a really great runner. She'll get more midfield time next year. Obviously, that depth Oakley had, she'll just continue to shine even more next year. And, ability to get contest to contest was just fantastic, and one that we're very excited to see how she goes next year with such an impressive bottom age year. Maggie Miney, a state hockey player, one that has, the decision between choosing one or the other, and I think football will be the key next year, hopefully it is, for, you know, for our sake, to report on her. She was great to watch, and I think with a solid football agenda next year, she'll be really dynamic in the midfield, and it'll be great to watch. Emily Gladman, a name we talked about earlier in the year, and for the reason of kicking 9 goals against Bendigo, which was just a nut. I think that was a record, if I'm not mistaken, in the girls' talent league. So that was extremely impressive. She broke her finger in the bye round. She came back in the prelim, though, so came back very late in the season. Just brought the pressure and just a really good kick for goal, one that could have a bit of a midfield forward rotation next year. And then Chloe Thorne at 07, so she's a bottom major next year. Her grand final was really, really good as well. Just has really great offensive flair and strong overhead. And Chloe Brewer as well. She'll move into a higher halfback role next year. Just a great mark for her size and very super competitive. So, I mean, a lot to recap there, Jonty, if you've got any more to add.
Charlotte Brewer, I think you just typed.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
But yeah, and probably the other one that we're worth touching on, Chloe Bowne, Tyrone Vickery, the coach of Oakley. Hopefully doesn't mind us saying, but he's certainly sung her praises throughout the year and is one that missed the back end of the season this year, but is certainly one to keep an eye on in the next couple of years. She's one who'll get some midfield time next year as well, I take it. But we'll move to Calder now, and there's quite a bit of talent there. They actually came up against Oakley in the quarterfinals, and probably the way that match played out, I know you watched this one, Nathan, and they're self-aware of the fact that the way this one played out was probably indicative of the way their season ended up going, in that they were competitive for large patches, but they just couldn't put it on the scoreboard. It was just that finishing polish, but there has been great development in that region of the world, which is around that sort of Essendon, Strathmore, Keilor type areas in girls footy in recent years, and that took another big step this year, and they've got some top end talent. Obviously Amy Gale is one who's received a lot of praise, and injury probably stopped her from showing what she could do at her very best for Calder this year. She played a game for Metro as well, just got injured at the wrong time, but her reputation's already established, obviously an AFL Academy player. And then she did have some top end moments against the Western Jets in the last home and away game of their season. So she's one that will go high in the draft, you'd expect, because she is a very complete player. Kaylee Kavanagh is one who really boosted her stocks this year. Obviously that complete midfielder that we've talked about, and just rarely played a bad game. Obviously talk about what she can do from a contested point of view. She's also got that power as well, and I think she's one who's certainly in that sort of first round bracket. And Sarah Grundon as well, I expect she'll get picked up, because as the season went on, she got to play more time in the forward line. That's where clubs probably see her as being her best position at the next level. And it's her read of the play that really sets her apart. And the other thing that doesn't fly under the radar, is very obvious every time you watch Calder, is the amount of pressure she brings. So they're the three top-end players that there's a reasonable level of confidence will get drafted out of the Cannons. Then you've also got Amy Trindade, who probably just broke her wrist at the wrong time. Talk about Amy Gaylor's injury, but Amy Trindade didn't quite make Metro as a result of when that injury came. And being that sort of slightly built outside player, there's probably a few question marks around whether she is able to match it at senior level at the very top level. And she's one who might have to take the long route through VFLW, but her leadership is something that stands out, and her communication out on the ground is something that's very good. And then Ali Spagan, whether she was playing at full back, whether she was playing in the ruck, her craft is very impressive. She's just got that instinctive ability. So from a top age point of view, they're the ones that really stood out. And then below them, you've also got the next tier, Chelsea McDermott, Adelita Bazinga, broke her collarbone, but is one who will play VFLW. Emily Marino, Amelia Wright, Bridie Collings was a really impressive midfielder, particularly early in the year, who drives her legs well from stoppage, and Yasmin Wellsford. So that's probably from a top end point, a top age point of view, the players to talk about from the Cannons.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got some even more impressive bottom ages as well. And you'll touch on the double bottom ages, which are just insanely impressive to watch. And I think I touched on it after their elimination final loss. They probably have one of the most exciting trios, or quadruple lows, whatever you'd want to call it. The four of them, of McClay, Chloe Baker-West, Kavanagh and Gaylor, were fantastic to watch from a bottom major perspective. Touch on a few that should watch next year, and they'll lift and they'll get some more midfield time, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, you touched on Chloe Baker-West and Jade McClay. So Jade McClay, to finish seventh in the league, to finish, yeah, as high as she did in the league, best and fairest, when she only played seven games, is an outstanding effort and just speaks to the fact that she catches the eye with what she does. She's got a lot of offensive flair and she can play in any third of the ground. So I think she's still got 2 years of development to go, bodes really well for what her at her very best could look like. Chloe Baker-West, obviously a generational talent. Everyone's acknowledged that. So she's one that there'll be plenty of eyes on. And then Shauna McGallagher as well is another one that was born in 2007 and showed this year that she can kick goals. She applies reasonable pressure as well with a rundown tackles that she executes inside 50. So there's a couple of double bottom ages to watch. In terms of players that'll be top ages next year, so the 2006 borns, one that did show quite a bit is Ava Gerarda. She came to the Cannons as a forward, has gone back into defence and shows that she reads it really well and attacks the footy really hard. So she's one who will definitely play Vic Metro trials if her sort of natural progression continues next year. Maddie Albrecht is one whose speed is as good as anyone else in the talent league. So she offers a lot in the front half. And then Kyla Forbes, the left footer inside 50, who got the opportunity at Vic Metro level as well. And she's also continuing to develop in Jayla Rutley as a shutdown defender, probably rounds it out. But yeah, there's certainly a lot of talent in that part of the world. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they do all develop. A lot of those probably do go on to Essendon VFLW lists if they don't make it to the top level. But I'll throw back to you now for a rundown on the Rangers girls, the runners up.
Yeah, well, again, like Oakley, there's quite a few to talk about. And yeah, finished runners up and, you know, equally should have won it as much as Oakley. They were terrific all season. And yeah, look, Oakley just got the better of them on the day, but they were fantastic all year. And I'll start again with the top ages. I'll start with Ava Campbell. Her back end to the season was fantastic, and she played two really good finals at the end, especially one you saw in the prelim final and then the grand final herself. And that was the best version of Ava Campbell. You can get that intercepting halfback that can provide that run and carry. And yeah, she's just high pressure, great ball user at her best. And it'll be interesting to see if she does get picked up in the end. And look, I don't know how much weight the testing will hold for the girls. I feel like it might have a little bit more just to see, especially the pre and post testing. It will be very important because I think she's one that could test very well. We don't know the results. They have tested, sorry, but we are waiting on those results. So she's one that would have tested very well. So minimum VFLW, but she's got all the traits for AFLW. So I think surely along the line there's a chance there. And then Laura Stone, I mean, she was terrific. She'll be a top 10 prospect 100%. She was just her willingness to understand her game, her work rate is just second to none. And we saw that on grand final day. She just, like the speed around the contest, her ability to break out, like you can't beat that. And she was so good.
14 disposals in the first quarter on grand final day, I'm told. So certainly stands up when it matters.
Yeah, nuts. She's just fantastic to watch. Alicia Pisano, you put her in the same bracket. I mean, she'll be one of... Oh, I don't want to go too early, but she's got to be, she'll easily be one of the best small forwards like in her first year. Like, she's that, just that flair she brings. She just knows she's got, when we talk about her kicking action, it's very natural and it feels like she just, like there's not much to work on in that sense, but she's just got it, packed down so, so well. And yeah, I think she stepped up as well in terms of it was a more offensive game at the start of the year for her, and then she brought in a bit more defense at the back end of the year, and just, her tackle numbers as well, they doubled from last year. So just small improvements across the ground and proven she was, a very versatile small forward just compared to just a goal kicking small forward. Georgia Stubbs is one that I really liked watching in the middle of the year and showed some great traits in that back line position. And did she show enough in the back end of the season? I think she showed just enough glimpses, and she's definitely a utility player as well that you could put in other positions. She's quite tall for the female height, so one that could go possibly, and she brings a lot of speed and pressure to the contest. Jacinta Hose, unfortunate end to her season, one you liked quite a lot, Jonty, and a bit frustrating. Again, she did an ACL, and surely she can get on a list. You'd like to hope she'll find herself on the list and just sit there and be developed, because her best football is yet, it's yet to come, really. We only saw two quarters of her this year, so really disappointing, but great mindset from what we've been told by Coach Ash Close. She's ready to go back into it and get her rehab going, and she's a couple of weeks out of rehab, out of her surgery, sorry. So she's right back into the mix, and yeah, great to see that.
The positive from her perspective, I think, is that there was probably a view that she wasn't going to play AFLW in her first year on a list. The negative from her point of view is that the small AFLW lists mean there is a bit more hesitation than on an AFL list to have a player just sitting there who can't play that you're having as a development player. So perhaps she has to go through VFLW, but we certainly know that at her best, there's already high hopes around her, and that's having missed, you know, such a large chunk of footy in the last 18 months with repeat ACL injuries.
Yeah, well, yeah, we fingers crossed she'll hopefully get on the list, but yeah, she'll go through VFLW at the very least, yep. And I think eventually over time she'll find herself on an AFLW list. Hayley McLaughlin, one of the best winners in the competition, probably the best winner in the competition. Yep. Yeah. 100%. Just a really hard worker, like one that you notice on the ground, just takes in the feedback and sort of found her formula to getting it all working at the back end. And just her running patterns are terrific. Just knows when to get the layoff handball and move the ball forward and generate some offensive movement into space. So she'll be 100%. She should get drafted. I'd be very surprised if she doesn't go, and a really great addition to any club that picks her up. Jess Vukic, she missed the preseason and had some, you know, niggling injuries throughout the year, but did come back and played some pretty dominant football in that ruck. We know how competitive she is. That's very evident on the field when she plays. And, yeah, it's just more about managing her body, I think. She probably has a good chance of getting picked up, as she's probably one of the top ruckwomen in this draft crop. So interesting to see where her football takes her, because she's definitely got the traits. She's physical, she's competitive, and just a general good ball user. And then the last one in the top ager group is Indigo Lind, who we saw some pretty good football from at the end of the season. And there should be a bit of AFLW interest. At very bare minimum, she gets on a VFLW list. Just really continual improvement and just a very coachable player in general. So, yeah, a lot there for Easton. And we knew that from the start of the season, and they've kept building that list.
And then you go down to, and you'll touch on some of them, but you go down to the 17-year-olds, and it just continues to be strong. You've got Grace Baba, you've got Grace Ballany, as well, who I've liked watching, in Georgie Brisbane, probably the big three next year that they've got, and then they've got some others around them.
Three of them, I reckon there's more. What a major, it's nuts for Easton. They've just got a list that keeps going and going. Taylor McMillan is one I'll start as an 07.
Double bottom.
Yeah. I mean... She was one we saw at the back end with her speed in the middle of the ground. She just a big opportunity to grow as a midfielder, I think, next year. And obviously her bottom age year is just all about, you know, experimenting, playing different roles. Probably gets a run at the trials for Vic Metro at the very least. And who knows, she could definitely crack in for sure. Emma Stilvey, incredibly clever as a player, great running patterns, just really important to the team with her role that she plays. Her finish around the goal was really good, especially towards the back end of the year. Her movement inside 50, she just generates scoring opportunities. And she does have the running capacity to play on the wing and go through the midfield. Grace Baba, like you touched on, probably one of the big three to watch. And it was evident from the preseason game this year that like 1%, that pressure energy she brings around the contest. She might lose a contest, but she's putting the tackle on straight away or making that smother. I mean, personally, that's what stands out to me more than just her run and carry. I mean, that's already terrific as it is. And she probably has another level to take it to next year, and she'll build on some more size. She's pretty lean at the moment. She'll build on more size and just become very aggressive. Georgie Brisbane, like you touched on as well, had her moments throughout the season, but it was probably she's a player that's a byproduct of good transition through the midfield and good entries inside 50, I feel like. So I do, we sort of question, is it confidence, you know, that sort of let her down at times, but not really. Just sort of plays well when the midfield's going well, but she's one that will keep building to her size. Great tall forward, great mark above her head. And she was hitting the scoreboard throughout the year. So I think next year she'll take it to another level. And it was a very good bottom age at the very least. Stasia Stevenson, a really good worker as well. Strong start to the season, and then just sort of refocused in on her pressure that she brings to her game. And her role next year, still a bit to be decided where she plays her football, but a utility player at the very least that could play a few different roles. Grace Ballany, we had a post about her and her local footy. She was terrific in her local grand finals. she'll be really good next year. And I think she'll be on par with Georgie Brisbane come probably Vic Metro time at the very least. She's such a attacking, like offensive player that can just push forward and take a great mark. And then a great kick for goal as well. She'll be really good to watch. Five more for Easton. There's quite a lot to talk about with them. Evie Parker, aerobic capacity is just fantastic. One that you'll definitely see sort of play a similar role to what Hayley McLaughlin did, actually. She'll probably fit right into that role when Hayley is not there next season. And, yeah, we'll work on her fundamentals. She'll be fantastic to watch. Mackenzie Board is one that is one to watch next year that we haven't seen too much of yet, but she's been the second ruck to Jess Vukic this year. But we've seen glimpses of what she can do, a really good tap ruckman. Molly Patterson, again, one we've seen. These are a few that we've seen bits and pieces of this year but weren't in the first team at the back end of the year. And then she'll learn how to play a variety of roles, majority of in the midfield next year. She'll be a great winner as well when she does get that opportunity. And then Isla Baldwin, she probably won't get picked up this year, but she probably will come back next year and play as the top ager.
Yeah. No, very
good. And that's, yeah, a lot to talk about with them.
A summary, but it speaks to how talented their list were and how much the Ash Close does have at his disposal. We'll move on to the Gippsland girls now, though, and their big storyline out there is probably just the increase in competitiveness out of that country region. So 2 years ago, they finished the season with a percentage of 15, and they had a lot of players that were coming out of the Dandenong Stingrays region. They just weren't able to fill their team with enough players that were at the level from the Gippsland Power catchment, and now they're coming off the field with a percentage of 70 at the end of the season. And when they are losing, there's a level of discontentment, whereas 2 years ago they were just happy to be playing footy. So that just speaks to the growth in competitiveness, the change in attitude, and the development of female footy in that region. So although they didn't get as many wins as they would have liked, they were a lot more competitive this season than they have been in previous season. And that's through a lot of hard work from people at the Bass Coast Breakers and the Warragul Industrials Footy Club in particular. So shout out to those two local clubs. And the big name this season is Amber Shute, a defender who got a lot of confidence from that Vic Metro game, up in Queensland against the Allies, where her speed, her cleanliness and her composure all really stood out. And then she finished her championships really well as well, having shown bits and pieces enough to get picked up by Vic Metro. And then from there, she was able to take that form back to Talent League level and finish the season really well. Behind her, there's a lot of players that will have VFLW opportunities that had solid seasons. Alicia and Elise Molesworth, the twins, they're both listed at Box Hill, so I assume they'll go around there again. India Mackay, the belief is that she'll go to Casey after getting some games for Casey this year. Ali Penry, the Gippsland Power skipper this year, who played in the ruck, is another one who's a chance to play VFLW alongside Charlotte Waller and the athletic and competitive Tyler Byrne. And then from a bottom age perspective, Ash Centre is the name that's on everyone's lips in the AFLW space. Her first half of that under-17s game was everything you want from a player and three times more. She played local grand final for Sale. She's played for Gippsland. She's played for Vic Country. Every team she's played for this year, she's shone, and she's a generational talent that's got offensive flair but was shown in the defensive part of the ground this year. Her marking and her movement is like no one else in the female game. It's outstanding to watch. And then Jazz Soden, another one who trialled for Vic Country and then did make it, played the one game for them against WA, which gives her a good launch pad to go into next season. She finished the season on a high. Her contest-to-contest running as a inside midfielder who applies a lot of pressure was something that really stood out. And then their double bottom ages, and this is where they think the talent is going to really start to ramp up from the power region, is when those 2007 borns, and I think that sentiment is echoed across the country regions. But they've got Abby Hobson and Alice Stoddart who lead that. So Hobson's a marking forward who takes contested marks for fun, even at her age. Alice Stoddart's a rebounding defender we've spoken a lot about this year. Then they've also got Addison Howe, Chelsea Sutton and Rebecca Fitzpatrick, who have all been spoken about. And then Grace Dillo as a 2008-born player broke in for a late-season game as well. So lots of excitement coming out of Gippsland for the future. And they've obviously got Amber Shute, who had an excellent campaign to put her on the map.
Oh, 100%. It was great to see them have a much better season than they did the year before, because it's no good to see any team get beaten comprehensively each week. So they're very exciting. I'm very excited to see Ash Centra next year. I mean, she'll go nuts. I'll move to another country team in Bendigo. And a poor year from them, and I guess it just didn't, you know, it all sort of unraveled towards the end, but still some really great glimpses. And the V-Line Cup was something that was held postseason had some really good talent come. That's an under-15 carnival for where all the country teams come and compete in that. And a great community thing as well for the club, where a couple of the girls went and helped coach, and same with the boys. So gave a great glimpse into the future for Bendigo. But the four main ones for Bendigo, the top ages, Lila Keck obviously is the one on everyone's tongue in terms of that small forward, probably under Alicia Pisano in terms of the energy and craft she brings. But she also started her season in that midfield mix and pushed forward out of the contest. But she was one that probably benefited from a good bottom age year with the year that Bendigo had in the end. She's just sort of showed that she's capable and doing it on the big stage. Like, that was the main thing with her. She could do it on the big stage. And we saw that in the AFLW Academy game against the under-23 All-Stars team.
Yep.
I think she's put herself in a great position. I'd be really surprised if she doesn't find herself on a list with the talent she has, and a really good developmental player as well. Brady O'Rourke was one that built into her season really well, and she was probably, you could argue, she was probably the biggest improver this year in the talent league, where she started from to where she ended. Played some really good Vic country footy. Her footy IQ was just really up, and just sets the standards at the club in general, and just a really hard worker, and still a lot of room for growth as well. Keely Fullerton, one that you liked watching quite a lot, Jonty, and we saw glimpses of her on that win. She did have the opportunity to train at Williamstown's VFL team during the year, so there's definitely some interest with her football. And I think at the very least, she does find herself on a VFLW list with the talent she possesses.
Yeah, she got the combine invite as well, which is really positive for her.
Yeah, 100%. And then Steph Demio is the last one that didn't get a combine invite, but still had a very good year. And she just probably lacked that sort of X factor that those other three did have, but she played her role really well. Should get a VFLW chance at the very least. But yeah, just knuckles down, got her work done, and she was really good to see. From a bottom age perspective, a lot more to talk about here. And it is coming good for Bendigo, and they'll build a bigger list next year, so they don't have sort of those same issues we saw with lack of players towards the end of the year. They'll make sure that's rectified. Lucia Painter is the main one that we saw really good glimpses of at the start of the year, especially at Arden Street when we went. She was terrific. Like, just a player that can run so, so well. She had an ankle injury towards the end of the year that required surgery, so she's getting back into running now, just out of the moon boot. But she'll get it. She'll have a really big year next year. She's just very fit, strong out of the contest, and I mean, she'll probably be able to push forward as well. She's that type of player that just has that flair and that ability to push, move the ball forward and meet his gain. I think she's similar to Michaela Williamson in terms of what she can bring. She's just that player who knows how to move the ball forward so well, and a bit of a focus on leadership as well next year from her perspective. So it will be great to watch her. Jamaica Douglas is one that we sort of talked about at the start of the season, had quite a middle of the season, but had a good start. She finished year 12 this year, so she'll have a football focus next year. And positionally, she could change, but she was playing on that half-back role this year, but she could move on ball. Sasha Pierce is one as well. She trialled for Vic Country this year, but wasn't picked in the final squad. Played a big role in the ruck for Bendigo and covered the ground really well. Has a good athletics background. Nadia Peebles as well. She was one that had a really good back end to the year, provides really good run and moved into the midfield group and was able to cope and perform really well. Gabrielle Drage, great story. I mean, she came in from community footy and only after a couple of weeks she was in the main side and played really well, enough to get a trial for Vic Country that quickly. So from community footy to trial into Vic Country was a terrific story and has really good room for improvement. She's already started her pre-season and will play a bit of a mid-forward rotation next year. And then Eliza Coots, she's another tall. She had a shoulder reconstruction, but she'll be back into it next year. Really great athleticism and wants to take her footy as far as she can. So good signs for Bendigo. I really hope they do come back and get some really good wins on the board next year, which I'm sure they will. And I will move back to Metro with the Western Jets. Jonty, tell us a bit about them. They had a few really good prospects at the back end of the year, especially in that Metro period that shined.
Yeah, they did. And I think Christy Lee Weston-Turner is the name that everyone's going to get very quickly familiar with. You talk about the Metro Carnival, she had so many moments inside 50 in that game. I think she might have only kicked one goal, 5 or something, but it just showed her explosiveness and her ability to take marks, which is what her game's really built around. She's got that real X factor. Kira Wiley's running across the ground as a midfielder was something that stood out throughout the season. She wins clearances. She's a good communicator and she's the skipper of the Western Jets side. So she has that leadership piece to her as well. Megan Smart's one who started off half forward and then looked a lot more competent when she played on the wing and got opportunities at the higher level as well. So I expect she'll push to play VFLW next season. And then Tamara Henry was another one who was really impressive for the Western Jets. So they didn't necessarily have the wins that they would like to have, but they certainly did they certainly were able to show what their bottom ages could do and also their top ages. So that's what you want. In terms of bottom ages, Lulu Fields, one that certainly stood out and is one, particularly at the start of the season, who was a really high output player. Her productivity was really good. And Sierra Greaves is another one in a similar vein to her. So they're the bottom ages to look out for from a double bottom age perspective. Ella Tyson showed a little bit. Charlotte Miller as an intercepting defender was another one who improved as the season went from pre-season to end of season, got some games and certainly played an important role in the defence. And then Alex McBride-Lone was her aerial work, just showed some little glimpses and she's got a couple more years to round out her game. So, and I guess if there was one more player to touch on, it's probably Kira Lear. She's an overager who came back to the Jets and show the development that you want when you're going to keep a 19-year-old on your list. She'll play VFLW next year, I think.
Yeah, well, they won the premiership last year, so they do have the talent in that region that will come back at some point. So good to hear that they've got some good bottom ages coming through. I'll go to Sandy, who just missed out on finals, but probably should have got in that top four. They had a very hard fixture, just given, you know, the Metro region and, yeah, that was a really good back end. They would have possibly knocked out an Oakley or Easton in finals if they had gotten in. We saw they were up by, they were up by 4 goals against Easton in that game we watched. That was full teams and, look, ifs and buts. They didn't, and I'm sure next year they'll have a pretty strong year. But I'll start with the top ages, and a lot of their top ages had bits and pieces throughout the year, and I'll start with Emily Goff. Her season did go pretty well as planned, and she does school rowing, so, you know, again, a bit of that mix and always comes in and impacts her game as well with that shoulder, like that shoulder strength and her ability to take on all the contests. But she adapted to new positions. She played a half-back role in the game against Gippsland, which did sort of land her a position in Vic Metro that she was capable of flexibility in her game and her role. But she did play on the wing at times, just a really good aerobic ability. Would be interested to see if she gets picked up. Isabel Bacon probably is their top in terms of getting drafted this year. In terms of the pressure she brings around the ball, it was just elite, especially at Metro level. It's where it stood out, and she translated that right back to Sandringham form. And, yeah, really great athletic ability. She's versatile. Still very raw as well with football. Like, only came into the system this year, so still a lot of growth with her. Maddie Torpy, she came in as a 19-year-old this year. Should get VFLW at the very least. I think injuries probably hindered her chances quite a lot this year. She broke her thumb, which I did see that, and it was not a very nice sight, that broken thumb. Jasmine Shepherd, she's one that had a really good start and middle of the year, probably was leading their sort of draft race at that point and probably still has a very good chance with her football. She just consistently got better, plateaued a little bit after the champs, but just came forward, took a few good intercept marks and just really good football knowledge that was building throughout the year. Annabelle Embleton, we talked about her leadership before on this podcast, and that is something that definitely stood out for the Dragons. Be interested to see how she tested when those results do come out, if she made any of the top 10. But just resets the back line really well, really good shutdown defender that I know you love watching.
She's a skipper as well, just to know, obviously talk about her leadership. She has got that official title, and, yeah, she has certainly been a good one to watch.
And then Mia Zielinski is probably the last one in that top age group that, you know, has had some good football. She was their leading goal kicker. Not sure if she'll get picked up. I think VFLW at the minimum, her football knowledge is up there. Probably one of the best in the team in general in terms of her forward craft. She knows how to kick goals and get her hands on the footy. We'll just be interested to see if she does get on a list, but VFLW at the very least. A couple of bottom majors to keep your eye on. I mean, Sophie Mackay, nuts. She'll be ridiculous. She should be top 10, I think, even though she'll end up at the Blues no matter what with the father-daughter. If she's as good as what Abby is, which she is, she's just going to be nuts to deal with. And just a really good holistic view in terms of her football, just growing in every area she can, and she'll grow as a leader as well. Judy Goldman is one that we've sort of talked about. Her kicking is what lets her down. But when she does fix that, and she will, she definitely will, it's something she'll build on. She's a dangerous player through that midfield group, just knows how to take on the contest, get it out. She's a sort of quick, in and under, sort of gets in and gets the ball out really quickly. She's great to watch. Tiger Daltrey, one that we haven't seen a heap of this year, but she'll be a staple in the team next year. She just works hard on and off the field, and she's a great runner, really good runner, who played some really good 16s football last year, and she'll be one that is great to watch. Scout Howden, we saw her a lot.
Yeah.
Saw her at the start of the year. She'll be terrific when she gets a really good preseason under her belt in that midfield group. And then Zari Mildenhall, she's got speed, super competitive one to watch. And then Sophie Crofts, Olive McLean, two to watch at the end, going into next year.
I reckon you've forgotten my favourite dragon, and the fact that Sophie Mackay isn't my favourite dragon is probably a little bit sacrilegious. But Daisy Flockhart's one.
Yes.
Touch on
yes.
her. Against Calder. So she started the season on a high against Calder, and I think she would have had at least 25 touches that day. Was a class above anyone else in wet conditions, and then was able to sort of maintain that form throughout the season, I think it'd be pretty fair to say.
Oh, 100%. Apologies. There are about 14 players I have for Sandy, and Daisy definitely is to go on the list. I'm glad you picked that up. She's one to watch 100%. We'll move now to probably the equal of the country team of Sandy and Dandenong, Jonty, that, I mean, they were stacked as well this year. And, like, such a shame. The three best teams, and they were in that three best teams. They lost to Oakley in that prelim. Tell me a bit. Who's going to go for them, and especially next year? They're stacked next year.
Yeah, they're stacked this year, they're stacked next year. So they've got Taylor Williamson and Meg Robertson, who we've spoken a lot about. They complement each other so well in that midfield. Meg Robertson's the in and under. Michaela Williamson's the smooth mover on the outside. So they'll both go really high. I think Michaela Williamson's probably just in front of Meg Robertson, particularly based on her championships. Sophie Butterworth's one who rarely gets shut down. She was by Zara Newith in the preliminary final. Outside of that, I think she always has at least four shots on goal, and that just speaks to her work rate, her running patterns, her understanding of the game, her ability to take marks, her ability to source goals in different ways as well. So she's a key forward who's going to go quite high. And then they've also got Abby Tregarlis, who's attracting a little bit of interest. So one to keep a little bit of an eye on, because she showed a little bit. And Gemma Ramsdale is one who finished the season like a house on fire. So if you're talking about players, and I know you talked about Bridie O'Rourke arguably being the player that from the start to the end of the season showed the most improvement, you could say that Gemma Ramsdale's up there as well, because she started the season as a very vocal player who had shown little bits and pieces that she could shut down, got to about halfway through the season and well and truly proven that she can shut down opposition players. Mm-hmm. Then went to Metro and came back to Dandenong and showed that she can not only do that, but she can also take intercept marks, and her offensive flair out of the back line is also really good as well. So, she's one that's been really good to watch. And Ruby Murdoch, probably one that's been perhaps your favourite to watch, certainly up there with mine. And just probably has gone unheralded a little bit as the season's worn on. Didn't get that combine invite. Perhaps she's the best player not to get the combine invite, because I think she's shown the flair she's got, the leg speed when she's got ball in hand. And then she's also played some important shutdown roles, including on Alicia Pisano at the country level.
Well, and I want to touch on a few bottom majors you touch on players that just had those really standout games. And we go back all the way to Dandenong v Oakley at the start of the year. I feel like we found that game was just, if you're a recruiter, you're loving everything you're seeing there. Ali Simmons, one you've just absolutely loved watching. She's developed into a player who could probably get picked up this year, that sort of the way she's gone. She's developing so well. Touch on her, but then there's also a few other Dandenong girls in the bottom age year that will be really good to watch.
Yeah, Ali Simon. So we've talked about the fact that she is a ruck. She's got so much power and she can go forward and take marks, and she impacts around the ground as an extra midfielder as well. She's also got her offside, Zoe Basanko, who can do very similar things in terms of provide that extra number as a follow-up player at stoppage and then go forward and take marks. And then they've got Gemma Reynolds, who's so clean in the middle of the ground as well. Jermaya Breslin's probably one we haven't talked about as much, but I expect she'll be at Vic Country level next year for sure. She's a run and gun sort of winger who's quite fast and holds her shape really well. So interested to see if she stays on the wing. She certainly looks natural there. And then Kayla Dalgleish has got a lot of exposure as well. If you're going to look at double bottom majors, I've been really impressed by Matilda Argus and heard a lot of positive things about her. She only played the one game, but she showed a lot in that one against Tassie and stood up late when the game was on the line, won a couple of crucial one-on-ones and is a silky and skillful player. So she'll be a first choice player, no doubt, next year, as will Nikita Harris, who's run on the wing, and she got a little bit of time inside as well. Really stood out in the 8 or 9 games that she played for Dandenong this year.
For sure. Well, I mean, they have to get a premiership at some point. That is at least my opinion. It has to come at some point. They're so stacked.
Yeah.
And I guess you've still got Oakley, Eastern, and Sandy who will come back next year, and they'll be stacked as well. But we know the culture there is terrific, so excited to see where they go next year. I'll move to Murray now, who unfortunately had a season that we don't like to see in terms of just struggled with numbers and it wasn't terrific for them, but still some great bottom age talent coming through. But I'll start with the two top ages that we've kept our eye on most of the year, and Kaylia Cobzan is the first one. Off the halfback, she played in Vic Country and had some good moments. I mean, has a really good left foot that proves she can belt it outside of that D50 in terms of offensive transition out of the defensive side of the ground. She was really good with that. Really good decision making. She's got a strong body. We'll be interested to see if she does get picked up. I think she's one you can definitely use on a VFLW list at the very least, but she had some good moments throughout the season. Alice Voss is the second one who definitely picked up sort of a really good back end of the year to add to her resume of football in terms of that. Just her game sense was terrific. She was reading the ball so well, positioning herself so well, and then her exit kicks were just terrific as well. I think one that could be sort of a late riser, and at the very least a developmental player. She's got all the traits and just great football smarts, which I think are sometimes just the most important thing on the field.
The other thing with her that you don't want to overlook is I think she showed some really good glimpses playing for the Allies. So
yeah,
what she could do at that level, and probably, it was like as if there was no gap. She translated her form straight over. So, playing in that better side, which the Allies were, a little bit more competitive, certainly suited her.
Yeah, 100%. A few bottom majors I'll touch on. Chloe McElhaney, she has a really good left foot. Her fitness will improve a little bit. But, she's one that hopefully can play some good football next year and get herself recognised, and will move into a bit of a forward role next year. Destiny Dodd is one that we saw very early in the season have some good games. She's a shorter ruck, but plays a bit of a mid-forward rotation. So a big family as well. And I'll touch on the second side of her family. Rain Dodd. She's Vic Country under 16. Played really well at 18s level this year when she came in the middle of the year. Really great run, very athletic. So great string of family there that they'll be good to see those two girls play together next year. Majella Day is, you touched on an 08 Gippy girl before. She's an 08 Murray girl that came in and had 24 touches and 6 rebound 50s in their first game. So they are 2026 prospects then. But, she played in under 14 boys and won the league and won her best and fairest in the local league the year after. So she's one that just has a lot of, accolades to her name already. Kicks with both feet, takes kick outs, runs it out. And she'll be great to watch next year. And then Ali Armstrong, Molly McLaren, two other double bottom majors to keep a watch on next year for Murray.
Yeah, no, it's a good summary. And certainly they're another region that as the years progress, they'll certainly improve. And you talk about Majella Day, they're the sort of story that the local clubs will love to hear about. We'll move on to Geelong now, whose region is a little bit more developed, and that's probably led this year by Chantal Mason, who, after a quieter start to the season, having, as we've talked a little bit about, having not played forward, prior to this year, she really learned that craft and picked it up really quickly, was very coachable, according to all reports coming out of the Falcons. And then her size and mobility really lent itself to getting shots on goal and getting herself in really good positions. She felt like a penny dropped between the community breaks, where she went from being a little bit lost to all of a sudden looking like she knew exactly what she was doing. And that reflected on the scoreboard as well. That natural forward craft seemed to really come to her. So, yeah, she's one who got the combine invite, and deservedly so, as did Jo Sunderland. Jo Sunderland was a late addition to the AFLW combine, and her end to the season really showed what she could do in defense. We've talked about her kicking, her creativity, and also her physicality as well. So I've really enjoyed what she's been able to offer. She's quite good one-on-one, so she's got something to offer at the next level. At worst case, she will go to Geelong VFLW. Others in that sort of VFLW sort of mix, Bella Gillam, who was probably overshadowed, obviously, by Chantal Mason, but did hit the scoreboard regularly for Geelong, was an important part of the way that they played. Kate Martin, playing at fullback, was one who tended to win her one-on-ones and didn't have bags kicked on her very often throughout the season. She was very bankable. Hayley Peck in the ruck was probably best ruck outside of the Vic Country representatives, being Layla Lappin and Ali Simons, and obviously Jess Vukic and Jacinta Hose being the Vic Metro representatives. So she's one who can go to Geelong VFLW. And Sophie Ma will also attract interest from Geelong at a VFLW setting.
Yeah, for sure. Excited to see in terms of bottom age. I mean, sorry, Ali, you can't look past her.
No, you can't. And she's the one that we've spoken about all year, how outstanding her running is, and, you know, her ball winning ability, and the numbers are reflected in that. So she's so good on the inside, but they've also got so many behind her as well. Mika Morrissey finished the year really well. Her defensive run and work rate really stands out. Caitlin Charles, her 2K is excellent. So that she's got defensive presence when she's gone into the midfield, and probably the numbers don't quite reflect how important a role she's had for them. She's a little bit of a quiet achiever. Lucy Marishook looked really competent when she went out to the wing. She's a diligent athlete whose running comes to the fore when she is sort of playing that outside role. And then Chloe Bryan as well. I think one of their games later in the season, I reckon it was the last one before finals, she racked up a lot of the footy and really showed what she could do for a full game. And I was really impressed with what she could do. So she's someone who gets to good handball receive positions and then is able to spread and use the footy really well, makes good decisions. So there's some bottom majors to watch. Stella Huxtable probably leads the double bottom major contingent. And and Chloe Adams, be remiss of me not to touch her.
Yeah.
Been overshadowed by Sarah Howley, but another top ager that if she doesn't get picked up by an AFLW club, which she's certainly in that mix, having received the national combine invite or the AFLW combine invite, that she'll go to Geelong AFLW.
Yeah, 100%. And shout out to Sarah and Chantel. I always like to comment on our stories and just shout out each other, which is quite funny. So if you're listening, we appreciate the support, girls. Two teams left. I've got the last two teams. We'll go to GWV, who lost in the elimination final to Dandenong quite convincingly. And we sort of realize, you know, there's a bit of a gulf between some of the country teams. But some good signs this year and some good players that definitely, in terms of a team who had probably the most jumpers in terms of form and just putting themselves into contention, I think GWV had quite a few. Jess Wrench is the main one on that list. I mean, she got confidence back in her body this year. She was just generating such good speed and power off the half-back line and just reads the ball so well. You'd expect her to go pretty high in this draft, probably within the top 20. She'll be a great asset wherever she does end up. Tyler Crabtree was one that we picked up on, especially in that Vic Country National Championships. She took her game to the next level, and it was just great killer instincts, really competitive. She missed games at the start of the season with injury, but just kept peaking towards the end, and the consistency developed. Her defensive pressure just kept improving week in, week out. One more contested ball, and just a really good self-driven player. And then the second to that list is Lily Jordan, again, who just had a really great championships. And I mean, you almost have her as a lock to get drafted with such a good middle and back end of the year. But yeah, just a really offensive player that was able to put work into off-ball work as well, just in her intensity and defense as well. And she did everything in her power to really put herself in contention now. So Yeah, look, you can't look past it. And I know you had some pretty good thoughts on their champs as well.
Yeah, no, I did. And it's just work rate for me. Yeah. That's what stood out. I think I've said it a couple of times on that on the podcast that she empties out and she understands her role really well. And I think her aerobic capacity holds her in good stead.
Yeah. And then two girls that probably should get VFLW interest at the very least, Layla Lappin. We sort of saw she had some good moments throughout the year and developed pretty well and just probably didn't do enough to get herself an AFLW list, you'd argue.
Yeah, and she was probably a little bit unlucky in that, you know, they went with Simons as a starting. She can't really begrudge given she's such a talent, but she certainly, and the question mark that comes over a lot of these players that have VFLW interest from country clubs is, do they want to make the move into Melbourne / the commute?
Yeah.
Obviously a big commitment, and that's something that I know clubs that I've spoken to are wary of. There's a lot of players that might have the talent to go into a VFLW list, but it's not so easy when they're obviously not just down the road. So yeah, Layla Lappin's got enough attributes to play VFLW footy for sure if she chooses to go down that path.
Well, I can back up that statement. Yeah, I mean, uni as well for these girls and boys, just for, you know, as well, they go into their uni year, so I guess it's finding if they can play VFL along with wherever they do end up studying. And then Isabella Davies and Molly Walton are two that should probably get a VFLW call up next year. In terms of looking at next year's top ages, Millie Lane, we saw how good she can be. I mean, she'll be one of the top defenders next year and should be in high talks already. Just great. Like in terms of her intercept marking ability and her ability to switch the ball as well when she does get that mark and moves transition really well. She's terrific. I mean, next year it will be a bit more midfield time as well, and it'll be interesting to see how she plays in that midfield. I think it'll be a great asset to her game.
Certainly. I talk about Gemma Reynolds a lot in being clean. I think Millie Lane drives that. I remember being out at a game that they played against Geelong at Mars Stadium on a Friday night. The wet, it was a completely dreadful Friday night, and some of her ground balls just so clean. She obviously works on it a lot and also able to take intercept marks on that night. She just took a one-handed pluck and it was just driving rain. So her ability to stick those marks is really impressive. So I'll be interested to see if that can continue to be a feature of a game. I'm sure it will be.
Claire Marnie is another one. Reads the flight of the ball really well. Just impacts the scoreboard as well. I mean, never really had a set position so far, so I guess she'll be experimenting a little bit next year. Elise Cook, she's one that finishes year 12 this year, so she'll have a footy year next year and just really good natural ability. And then Brooke Ward, she's done her ACL, but she'll probably come back, I'd say, after the championships next year, if I had to guess, based on mid-year. So yep. That wraps up GWV. And then I'll move to Northern, who was the last team on this list, who had some up and downs during the year. They probably had a bit of an easier run, which got them into finals, and they did end up losing in the elimination final to Eastern. But I'll touch on a few. I mean, their main top age star, Ava Jordan, you know, we talk about her size, but it doesn't impact her. She's still able to impact the contest really well. And when the ball goes to ground, she's just so speedy and electric. And she performed really well in that under-23 game against the AFLW Academy. She kicked 9 goals in 10 games. So one goal a game. You can rely on her to hit the scoreboard. I mean, it was an impressive year. Whether she gets picked up, I guess we'll wait and see. And I think their alignment with Carlton's VFLW, I think she should at the very least be playing some VFLW football. Size is literally the question with her, I think, because I think the ability is there. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's 150 centimetres or, yeah, in that vicinity. Yeah. So that would be the only question mark.
Yeah. Lauren Jatzak, she played as a 19-year-old this year. I think she should hack it at VFLW level with her ruck work. She's physical. She's contested. That's probably where it will be for her. And I'd be surprised if she doesn't end up just the player she is. It'd be quite a loss not to have her at that level. I think she's a quite handy asset. And then Lulu Beattie was picked up early in the year by Carlton's AFLW, which I think is good to mention, that they did have success earlier in the year.
Yeah, certainly. And obviously, Jazak played some VFLW this year as well. And then from a bottom age perspective, they've got Suwinda Buckley, who applies so much pressure. And that's so important for them in terms of the grunt work that she had throughout the season in the midfield. And Talia Plunkett's run as well and her ability to cover the ground, also impressed.
Oh, 100%. And I'll start with Buckley. She's just clean at the contest as well. But, I mean, she can generate a lot of movement on the outside, and that's something that is great in transition, just to have that versatility to move it through the corridor on the outside. Plunkett, like you mentioned, just has really good offensive threat and really hard at the contest as well. She provides just good outlet in transition, and she also applies the pressure really well. Her tackle numbers are really impressive. The two Hargreaves sisters are ones you can't look past next year from Northern, and they'll definitely lead that team 100%. And I'd assume probably Zoe of the two would be likely to get an AFLW Academy call-up, possibly, with the way she plays. Just a really classy midfielder that uses the ball so, so well. And she stood up really well in their elimination final against Eastern. Just applies defensive pressure as well. Just her game seems very well-rounded already, but I'm sure she'll build to that next year. And then her sister Phoebe generates really good clearance from the stoppage and reads the play really well. And then Holly Ridewood is the last one I just want to touch on that I saw some good glimpses on this year. She gets the ball into space. She can make an impact going forward. So I'm excited to see where her football takes us. And that wraps it up. But I have one question that I put in here and I thought about a couple of minutes ago. Who would your MVP be for the season?
MVP for the girls' season?
Yeah.
It would probably be Sarah Howley off the top of the head, just ahead of Ash Centra.
Wow. Ash Centra had a good... I think Ash Centra had a good championship like that, probably boosted her name. Look, I think Emma McDonald's year was so impressive as a bottom major. I'd have to go with her in that instance. But that wraps it up. Thank you all for watching. A long review, but it's a great preview into next year as well. And we'll touch on these girls again when the preseason heads up and starts kicking up again. But next week, we will do the boys' season review. And look forward. We're going to go through who the potential draft prospects are this year and who should get picked up. And then we're also going to preview next year as well with the boys and see where a lot of their football takes them. So thank you all for watching. Make sure to follow us on socials for a lot of draft content coming up. The links will be in the bio for that. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you next week.